Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to this podcast, completely arbitrary. I am just one of two hosts of this show. My name is Alex Croson, alongside
Casey Clapp, the other host of the show-st.
Casey Clapp.
Did you see how I rhymed host and show-st?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. Not everyone can do that.
Host and show would be some good near rhymes.
Yeah, that's what Eminem does. He's like, just bend the word.
Yeah.
And you listen to him rhyme orange. He's like, I can rhyme orange with anything.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to do it. And everyone's like, okay.
I love that. I've seen that. He's a fine artist.
He's a fine artist. The dictionary. Did you know that as a younger artist?
Just to learn words?
Yeah, he just read through the dictionary to learn words.
Good for him.
Yeah, honestly, I've tried to do that. I got it on my phone, Merriam-Webster's app.
Uh-huh.
Gives me a word of the day every day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you try to use
today.
It? Or?
Every now and then, yeah.
Do you know today's word?
I haven't even looked at today's, but one time I was looking on Instagram too much, so I just took the Instagram app and I moved it like to another page on my phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then instead, where my thumb normally would print or like go there, smart. I moved the dictionary up there. So every now and then I clicked on the dictionary once or twice. I'm like, shoot, okay.
Hey, that's some good brain hacking, Casey.
Yeah, got to do it, or else I'll just sit down and not read the dictionary like a dummy.
And that can't happen.
No, cannot happen.
Casey Clapp, we have so darn much to get to today.
Gosh, don't we?
In a combative fashion against that, I have decided that each episode we usually catch up with each other for a few minutes.
Yeah, sure.
Instead of a few minutes today, I'm going to set my timer for 15 seconds each.
All right, sounds good.
We each have 15 seconds to catch each other and whoever cares who's listening.
Oh, this is so exciting.
On our personal lives.
All right.
I darn near said it for 15 minutes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that would be good. Half an hour later, we finally start talking about a tree.
Yeah, that's never happened.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ready, Casey?
Yes.
Your 15 seconds begins now.
Springtime, dogwoods. I'm liking riding my bike. It's warm outside. The timbers are playing. I like soccer. Sometimes I get hamburgers.
You have 3 seconds.
And beer.
Time's up.
Yeah, all right.
Great.
Sitting outside.
Great job.
Shouldn't have added that in.
Hey, don't.
Enough. Well, but
don't go bending my rules that I just made up.
You're going to edit that out? Like, nope, 15 seconds, Casey.
All right, I'm going to do 15 seconds now.
All right, let me see the timer so I know that you're not cheating.
I'll hold it up to you once I hit start.
All right.
All right, here we go. Spending a lot of time outside in the sun. I have a little bit of a tan. I've been walking around the city like crazy, like 3 or 4 hours a day. Been playing a lot of guitar. Been enjoying my own company.
Done.
Okay, perfect.
Excellent.
Casey, we have a bit of housekeeping to get.
Oh my gosh.
To take care of.
Yes, we do. Your floor, it's got hair everywhere.
Casey.
It's dust. You've been walking outside bringing all that dust.
How dare you? I keep a tidy home.
You do. It is quite tidy.
we're gonna talk about three different things today.
All right.
Before we get into this week's tree. So let's bust through them. We have something to say about a a figure on the show that we talk about quite a bit, or we used to talk about a bit.
Yes.
And their name. Can you take us through that, Casey?
All right. So I have a friend. His name is Ross. He's a good friend. I lived with him for a while in Massachusetts. Lovely, lovely fella. Hey, Ross. He's a listener.
Thanks for listening, Ross.
Yeah, he was listening specifically to the Douglas Fir and probably 17 other shows of ours, and he noted that, in fact, we pronounced the name of this person mm-hmm. not incorrectly because we're in America, but incorrectly if we're not in America and they are not an American. Specifically, I'm talking about Archibald Mingus.
Now, you might be thinking, who is that? The only Archibald I know is Menzies.
Exactly.
But apparently, according to your friend Ross, I don't know his credentials.
He has no credentials.
Well,
yeah, he's credentialless. I'm just kidding. He knows a bunch of stuff.
Well, he says that Menzies is pronounced Mingus.
Yes, apparently it's a there's a an archaic word in, I guess, Scottish that is I can't remember. It's like Z-H-O-U or something like that. I could look it up, but my phone is way on the other side of the room because I don't like to be distracted.
You know, I had to Google Mingus because I had remembered the kind of villainous child in Boy Meets World as Mingus.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, yeah.
It's Minkus.
Oh, yeah, that's right, it's Minkus. Not quite. Yeah.
So I also think, Casey, this also means we need to start calling it Pseudozuga Mingisii.
Yeah, Mingisii.
Yeah.
I think that's technically correct.
All right.
But that would be the... I think also there's an argument to say that, well, yes, I mean, technically it was correct in an archaic form, but if we're now, as language always does, transforms
That's
and evolves,
right.
then mm-hmm. it could today just be Menzies.
Well, I say we go with Mingus.
It's fun. Either way, it totally is. And apparently it's spelled, obviously, with G-U-S, and so it's just a silly thing, and the podcast regrets the error.
Casey, number two on our list of housekeeping items.
Oh, gosh. All right, so this is another one. This is such a challenge.
Do you want me to go for it? Take this one.
We should both do it.
So somebody mentioned in our comments on Instagram that we had talked about the indigenous name for the common hawthorn. No, did we? No, we didn't.
No, I think the indigenous name, I believe, is hawthorn or just thorn.
No, it's
thorn.
it's like Gael Shaish or something. I couldn't pronounce it.
I guess in Gaelic. But if you're English, they also have those trees in England.
Oh, like. We did it for the Japanese cherry.
Yeah, Sakura.
Sakura. Yeah.
Sakura. Dang it.
It's okay. And somebody mentioned, hey, you didn't mention the indigenous name for the umbrella thorn on last week's episode.
Yes.
So if you go to our website and you click on the umbrella thorn episode, there is additional readings. The top one there has a big, long list because there were many, many cultures existing around these trees that had many different names for it. So there's a list of like 20 or 30 names.
And they're so hard.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to attempt to read them. So if you would like to see, and also this is just a good reminder, we have additional readings for every episode. So if you want to dig into a specific tree, just go to our website and click on the episode.
You can find some interesting things.
Yeah, we got lots of cool stuff. We got a couple pictures of Casey and I for some eye candy.
Oh yeah, just in case you really want to see what it looks like in midwinter.
Yeah, both of us in our winter coats.
Yeah, or a little bit wet.
We should take updated summer photos.
Yeah, we totally should.
I'm thinking beach babe sort of.
Well, you are getting a tan. Well, yes. The umbrella thorn is the sort of Englishified name of that tree species. The Latin scientific name, Vicelia tortilis. But yeah, there's a lot of names from a lot of different indigenous languages because it's such a widespread tree. Almost every language, I don't know. Clade? You know how there's languages that come
great
from certain
use of the word clade.
Yeah, thank you. Each one of those has a certain pronunciation or a couple different kinds of pronunciations.
You're talking like Greek or origin or Latin origin.
Yeah, are these the Romance languages French and Spanish, Portuguese, uh-huh. those ilk all come from one thing,
right.
And then there's others that are from Scandinavia, others mm-hmm. from this part in Africa,
Germanic
others from this
languages.
Part. Yeah, exactly.
And then a mixture of a bunch of different kinds. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you know, like language changes.
Ugh, language is so cool.
Yeah. So the names are very complicated, and I just feel like it would be total, I would just butcher it so hard.
Yeah. It wouldn't even be, I don't think it would be worth us trying. But if you'd like to read it for yourself,
please do. And if you know how to pronounce those, please say them to me. Like, yeah. give us a shout.
Yeah. Like, email us a voice memo or something if you pronounce it correctly. But only if you're totally sure. Okay. The third and final point on our housekeeping list, Nikki Szymanski via Patreon sent us this message, Casey. Today's episode on the tree formerly known as the acacia tree, the umbrella thorn, I especially lost my
What do you think they were saying?
I don't know. Lost my spade?
Spit.
I did a spit take.
Spade is five letters.
All right. I have worked with giraffe in zoos for nearly 10 years, and today you married my two loves, giraffe. I don't add an S to pluralize it.
Ooh, kind of like game animals like deer and elk.
Mm-hmm. And trees, because giraffe are browsers. My life as a giraffe keeper revolves heavily around collecting browse for the giraffe to munch on. Last week, I received a large load of hornbeam.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh my God, I know this one. The giraffe can have a variety of browse, so as long as it isn't toxic, I'm looking at you, conifers, oaks, and maples. That's a wide range of toxic
dumb
foliage.
Dumb conifers, yep. Conifers are like, hell yeah, you ain't eating me.
Yeah.
Dumb giraffe.
a very interesting, we heard from a giraffe person.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so happy that we're reaching out beyond the tree people.
Yeah, I love hearing from people who are like, hey, you talked about deep sea divers this episode. I'm a deep sea diver.
That's one
of my favorite kinds of listener emails, because I'm like, hey, we just talked about this, that's fun.
That's fantastic. Well, see, I know everyone is just biding their time to just make my favorite hashtag, you know, trend or whatever the term is these kids are using.
Wow.
But trees and other related topics.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, every single thing is related to trees in some form or fashion. It's just a fact of my life. That's, and I believe everyone else's life.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm so happy about it, because ideally this is going to be the single largest podcast in terms of viewership, because everyone's going to be like, yeah, I totally relate. No matter who they are.
that was our plan from the beginning. We're a couple of penguins in here from the Batman.
It took me like a millisecond to be like, what is he? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's.
you reacted appropriately.
I'm glad we're a bunch of penguins in here. Now I just want someone to draw a funny picture of us, but it's just you and me as penguins with like microphones on, like, giggling.
Like lav mics.
Yeah, exactly.
On our tuxedos. Casey, we have a very cool tree to get into this week, so let's hop right in, my man.
Oh, let's do it.
This week, we're talking about the banyan tree.
Yes.
Or banyan or banyan tree.
That's it.
Casey, a tree found in India.
Yes, it is actually the Indian, I think it's the national tree of India, the specifically Ficus bengaliensis.
There we go.
Yes, bengaliensis. I think it's not there. I added an extra syllable, as I'm wont to do. This is bengaliensis.
Bengaliensis.
Yeah.
What was the first word?
Ficus.
Yes.
It's a fig. Oh my God. This is so much fun. Nobody thinks about this, and I'm pretty sure I know why. Everyone sees ficus, and they're like, oh, like it's the classic like indoor plant, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Is that a ficus? It's like, it's kind of a joke, right?
Sure.
And then there's also like people like, oh, I love figs. Figs are so great. They're so like, you know, love it.
Uh-huh.
They're the same thing.
Mm.
A fig or a ficus is the genus name, the scientific name for fig, all figs.
I hope some people like me are learning this for the first time and connecting a dot. A couple of dots.
Yeah, and so every time you talk about that, most of the time they're referring to a tropical species of fig. The tropical species of fig is used as an indoor houseplant because houseplants are usually tropical plants because it's so warm all the time. It's like always 60 degrees or more, right?
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're usually just tropical plants. Everyone, like, it kind of took me a while. I'm an outdoor tree person, plant person mostly, but I like indoor plants. And I had to be like, well, where do you find these? Like, what kind of plant is it? they're usually just some wacky tropical thing that can take pretty dry conditions. Let's be honest, no one's really perfect. My friend Raina, she's perfect. She has a beautiful solarium with this garden. I don't know how she does it. Everything that I have that she also has, hers looks like it has been like grown up on a pillow with like getting fed grapes and wine.
Ooh.
Mine looks like it just like got pulled in off the streets. And it's just like, can I live here? And I'm like, you can do your best. So
I'd like to see you try,
but I still try anyway.
Well, Casey, we last week were in Africa.
Yep.
In the savannah.
No, not last week. The week before we were.
Excuse me.
It's all right. We are now.
Last week we were in Lebanon.
Yes. Wow. The mountains.
I lost time in my brain.
Hey, it happens to me all the time.
Oh boy. If it starts happening more, I'm going to have to see somebody about it.
All right.
So we leave Lebanon on, you know, we could travel in any number of ways.
Hmm.
My instinct is hot air balloon.
Yeah, that is. Well, we already did that once.
We did,
I guess, we can do it again. That's our, oh, sorry, you're right. They're different. Sorry.
So we hop in a hot air balloon.
Yep.
And we skip on over to the subcontinent of India.
Mm.
And we touch down in the forest.
Yep.
And we are surrounded by beautiful banyan trees. Casey, take it away. What are we seeing, smelling, feeling, experiencing as humans in an inhuman world?
It's a bit much. It's a lot. So this is a very fascinating tree. It's a fig tree again. And I guess I kind of have to take a step back. We're talking about banyan, specifically Ficus bengalensis, but the tree that we're describing is kind of a, there's a lot of different trees that do the same exact thing that are also called banyan.
Okay.
But this one, most of the time, if someone says a banyan tree, they're referring to this exact tree.
Okay.
But there are other species that they would also call this, like Ficus americana, aria, bengalensis, citrifolia, elastica, macrophylla, that kind of thing.
These are all different kinds of banyan trees.
What someone would probably call a banyan tree, yeah.
Okay.
Now, having said that, I have never actually seen one of these in their native habitats. I've seen them in other places.
This is exciting.
Yes. Why?
Oh, I don't know.
It's just exciting. I thought you were leading towards something.
Yeah, no, it's exciting that it's exciting that you've never seen one.
Yeah, well, no, not it's native. I've seen one like in Hawaii. I've seen some down in Southern America. I've seen a couple here and there.
Cool.
But they don't grow near as insane as they do in their native land of India. And so basically what you're seeing a tree. And this tree will have thousands, if not hundreds, of long tendrils, where instead of just seeing one single stem that comes up, branches that come out, and you have this big canopy, you're looking at an entire tree that has long, like stout aerial roots that have come down from horizontal branches to the ground, and then now it has a second stem, a third stem, a fifth, 10th, 12th, 100th. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So it is called, it's this kind of fig, and the banyan tree basically is this big mass. I was just about to say something, but I'm going to hold back.
Ooh.
I'm going to give it to you later.
Ooh, a little tease.
A little tease.
How fun.
So the tree grows and it sends out these aerial roots, or prop roots is what they're called.
Prop roots.
The prop roots will be the initial roots that kind of go out, and a branch comes out, and then for whatever reason, it just kind of goes bloop, and the root starts growing downwards. And I'm not exactly sure why. Like, what is the exact thing that produces that root or that makes it happen? It might just be a bud, just ends up being on the bottom. I don't know.
I have two quick questions.
Yes.
Follow-ups. The root is literally growing out of the bottom of the branch?
Yes.
Okay. What distinguishes it from a branch?
A root is growing down. The branch would be growing up and out. And the root would not have...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a simplistic answer, but that's like, that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Wow, my brain is expanding.
It is. It's beautiful.
It's leveled up. So does this, my second follow-up question, does this tree also have a root system underground?
Yes.
Are they the same roots that are growing down from the branches?
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
This is, you're forcing me to get closer and closer to what I'm withholding, but I'm still going to withhold it.
Okay.
They have leaves too, and these leaves are just like any classic ficus that you see. They're big, and a lot of them are different kind of colors. I have a species, I think it's Ficus elastica, the rubber tree.
Yeah.
And very dark, very rubbery, and... like leathery leaves that are very dark green.
They're a little magnolia-ish.
Yes, they're super close, but you flip them over and they have more of a purple reddish hue on the bottom rather than a like that orange hair.
Yeah.
But some of them are a little bit lighter green where they kind of have look a little bit like collard greens or something like that, a little chardish every now and then.
Huh.
And so but they have like these big leaves, you know, they're maybe like 6 to 8 inches wide. They're very smooth around it and they grow out, and there's some that are a little bit more lobed or like a little bit more wavy. But there are so many different species of figs and so many of them do almost exactly the same thing. I can kind of be like, well, we're describing this one specific kind because that's the easiest way for us to just talk about what this one is.
Okay.
Rather than talking about like, oh, well, there's like oak leaves kind of thing where there's like a bunch of different kinds of oaks and all the oak leaves look kind of similar but with like little variations on the oak leaf aesthetic.
Right.
It's kind of like that.
And they all pretty much like grow in the same way.
Yeah, exactly. But these, for the most part, they are just simple leaves, lightish green on the bottom, lightish green on the top, kind of darker on the top a little bit, smooth entire margins, very leathery, rubbery. Like you can give them a high five and they'll give you a high five back. You know?
Love that.
And then they have these little fruits called figs.
Yeah.
Pinning that until later.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we got two pins.
I'm just so excited. Can I unpin one of my pins?
Yes.
To say that before I forget, if you asked me to describe the visuals of this tree,
yeah,
I think I would just kind of stumble and give up and be like, I don't know, it looks weird.
It's so complicated.
But here is, I think, a perfect visual analogy.
Okay.
Close your eyes, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a colander.
Okay.
And you are draining spaghetti.
Mm, yes.
Pour the spaghetti into the colander to drain it.
Mm-hmm.
Save a quarter cup of that pasta water for your sauce.
That's the right idea. I've never done that.
Oh, Casey.
I'm a fool.
And the spaghetti, the holes are too big for the spaghetti, and it comes through the holes a little bit, and it's kind of like, they're kind of like drooping through the holes,
yep.
And you're like losing some in the sink. That is what this tree looks like.
Yes, that is totally it. Yes, the only
that was such a long walk for almost no,
yeah, that was a
no
long
payoff.
That's ridiculous. That was a long walk. That's how I tell stories. Yeah. Anyway, that's
oh no, you're rubbing off on
that's
me.
That's how I got these pants. What, Casey? You could have just said you went to the store and bought these pants. Said you told me which store and why. Jesus, I think your metaphor works perfectly because that's what it looks like walking underneath. And
yeah.
Here's what's super, just super cool about it, is that these roots will, they come down and the tree will just continually expand itself. And this is actually a super cool thing. You and I
uh-huh.
talked about doing a superlatives season where we just talk about like the biggest trees
yeah.
or like something. So as I'm doing this research, I realize this is one of the trees that we could have included
oh.
on that list.
Interesting.
Because there is a tree, it's called Themama merimanu. And it is the biggest two-dimensional tree is what they're calling it.
Oh, so like the silhouette of it is the biggest?
I think so, or just the size of it. So because banyans grow like this, they will, again, pin on how they start growing, because yeah. you had a question that I'm going to come back to.
Okay.
Once they're there, you have a banyan tree, it's growing, it puts out an arm, and that arm puts out a root. Now, that tree has basically expanded itself in terms of like root area by maybe 10 feet. Then it does it again, and 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 it does it in all different directions. And
yeah,
then each one of those nodes starts to do it again and again. So you get this like this hydra kind of effect with this tree, but there's no cutting off of anything. It just grows
growing.
And grows. Yeah. And it ends up being, this one I think is like 5 acres across.
Holy crap.
So its canopy is a 5-acre mass of forest. But it's just one physical tree that just keeps getting bigger and bigger, like a blob expanding.
That would be just an incredible game of hide and seek.
Oh, I'm sure. But I think some of it, like, you can't get through. It's too thick.
Wow.
Because then each one of those roots is basically a new stem. So it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the same way that every tree gets bigger
wow.
and bigger. So you get these like really complex masses of little stems and big stems, and they become conjoined because they like hit each other, then graft together.
What's it called, Casey?
This one is called Themama merimanu. That's spelled Thimmamma.
Cool.
Marimanu.
Okay.
Sorry, Alex, there are other people that are listening, not just you.
I wasn't sure when it was ending. I just heard a bunch of M's and A's.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, it's huge. It's just massive. And I think they measured it last time in like 2010 or 2008. And it's just a huge tree, and it still has it's the widest growing thing in I guess the second dimension would be the canopy of it, like two-dimensional, because you can have like the biggest giant sequoia or pando, which would be kind of the same, but that's just individual stems from one root system.
Oh.
This is one full canopy with a gigantic root system, but it's all above ground.
Yeah, maybe they just mean like from a bird's eye view. The 2D-ness.
I guess so. Oh, I see. Yeah, if you're just looking straight down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll have to talk about that in relation to Pando, but that's not the objective of our podcast today.
No, the objective of the podcast right now, Casey, is to take a quick break. Jeez. We'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary.
Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts, so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers, without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees, get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-blooming. Those people are a-walking around. That sun is a-shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again, and it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee, ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking the banyan of India. Now, yes. Casey, during the break, I went to the restroom and I came back and you were poring over your notes like a madman.
Yes.
You looked like Gandalf in that library when he's trying to figure out what to do with the ring.
Trying to before I throw it in the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I watched you and then you said, oh, this is so intense.
It is.
And you told me, we're going to get into it, but we're not going to get too much into it. And then you slammed your book down. So let's talk banyan. And I don't know what we're talking about exactly.
Yep.
So here I am hitching my carabiner to your sachet.
That is exactly what you're doing.
Is that the right terminology?
I don't know, because I'm not sure what terminology you're going for.
I've never climbed a rock. You are my lifeline.
I'm going to pull you along.
Let's get into...
Tie a knot in the bottom of that rope, so as I tug you along, I don't just pull the rope and just right out.
I think if you were smart, you would just cut me free and keep climbing.
Goodbye!
Casey, let's get into the banyan.
All right, the banyan tree. Now, the first thing, when you look this tree up, you look up the banyan, you click on the Wikipedia because it's a great place to start.
Cool.
Start reading through and you realize, wow, there's a whole bunch going on with the banyan tree. And then you read a book. I don't know if you would do this, I don't know if that was a very linear progression that I just described, but you should read a book, everyone. That book is called The Tree by Colin Tudge.
Yes.
You'll recognize it because it has a tree on the front. I believe it's actually a white oak, Quercus alba.
No K.
Anyway.
No K. I meant no way.
No way. No K.
No K.
So what's cool about this book is that it is a natural history of trees, and this guy's an exceptional writer, Colin Tudge. He does it in a way that is extremely accessible, even though he talks about things that we talk about on this podcast that are just extremely inaccessible. I've probably made reference to this book or used things from this book to spark and seed an idea.
Yes.
Or just to be like, yeah, I read this thing in this book. Oh my God.
Right.
And learn about it. This is one of those things that I read in this book and was like, oh my God.
Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
Absolutely not.
You were on such a roll. Do you think I could read that book, reading level-wise?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just getting into chapter books.
This one, this has chapters, so you're going to be fine.
Are there pictures?
There are some pictures.
Okay.
But you will have to try to pronounce a lot more Latin names, so
whoops.
Keep that in mind. So what this tree, or what this book's about, The Tree, it has a space at the end. Go read it, everyone. It's great. Just trust me. At the end, they start talking about, or Colin starts to talk about the fig and the fig wasp. Now, if you are not familiar, this is one cool thing about this tree specifically. The fig wasp is an insect. It's a wasp species, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of wasps, the bug.
Okay.
It happens to be that there's a specific variety, or not variety, a subfamily of fig wasps, a very specific group of them.
Okay.
This group all had one single ancestor. This group is very unique because it only will go and breed in a specific species of fig tree.
Wow.
Specifically, each wasp will have one individual fig tree. 750 or so different species of figs, 750 species or so of fig wasps. If one goes down, the other goes down.
Are you kidding?
It is a little bit more complicated. Remember, I was reading just now, and I was like, this is too complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always nuance to this,
okay.
But if we're painting a broad stroke, no, I'm not kidding you. That is the case.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, you did say, and I'm paraphrasing. There will be a lot of ellipses in this episode.
Yes, there will be,
because it's a vast world. Hey, maybe we should really dig into it on a Patreon episode.
Oh man, if we could, yes. So sign up for Patreon and then ask us, and then we'll do it.
Yeah, demand it.
Yeah. So that is the first thing that we're going to talk about. So we're going to put another that is still pinned, but I just wanted to whet your appetite.
Okay.
Because we remains. Also wanted to talk about. Yeah, this is just a pinned episode right now.
Wow.
Also wanted to make sure that we discuss. Remember when earlier you were asking me about all these, like, what does it look like walking through the forest?
Uh-huh.
Does it have roots? Is the roots below the same as the roots above?
Right.
And I said, yes, with kind of like that sort of thing. Well, it just so happens that the banyan is, in fact, not a tree until it's a tree. One time, you asked me about you were writing a song, and you wanted to write a song. This is a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you asked me, you gave me some certain... parameters for what you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, the strangler fig.
Yes.
And I don't even know if that's still a thing, still a song that you're making or made or have.
I finished that song.
Oh, we want to hear it.
I like that song.
I think I did too. I think you showed me little bits and pieces.
I forgot about that song.
Nice. Maybe remember it now.
Yeah, maybe I'll put it on my upcoming recording.
I think you should, because it's germane to the rest of your life. Now that we're talking about it here on Completely Arbitrary, the podcast. So a strangler fig, Alex,
uh-huh.
is a tree, but it's a tree that starts way up at the top of the canopy in another tree.
Okay.
So you're a big tree. You're another tropical tree. You're cruising. You found this awesome spot in the canopy. You had to fight your way to get there every step of the way. You finally got there, and this bird comes and sits. And you're like, "Hey, what's up, bird?" And that bird's just like, "Nothing. I'm cool." And poops right there on your branch. And you're
fantastic.
Just like, you don't think anything of it. But all of a sudden, you realize that this little tree just kind of bloop, sprouts up from that poop, and you're like, "Wait, what's that?"
Okay.
What's going on? That tree gets a little bit bigger, and it starts putting little roots that kind of hang down around the side of your big branch. And you're just kind of looking at it, and you're just chilling. You're growing out. You're still doing your thing as your tree.
Am I getting concerned?
You're probably just now getting concerned.
Is this like finding a dark mole on your back that wasn't there 6 months ago?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't want to make that reference go any further because it's going to get bad.
Casey, good call.
So this little plant is growing here. That is a fig tree. That little fig tree was from a little bird, and because it, you know, they eat the figs, their fruit. It basically sends down this little plant, starts in the high upper canopies on these branches, and then sends down aerial roots.
Okay.
And it just sits there and grows. And those roots just go down and down and down and down and down until they hit the forest floor.
Okay.
When they hit the forest floor, then, and sometimes they crawl down the side of the tree trunk, like follow water or something. They keep going down, keep going down, keep going down. They hit into the ground. When they get into the ground, then they start to get nutrients and things for themselves rather than trying to just get it from the air or collect little bits of water that are hanging around.
This was my question, is how does it get what it needs to grow?
Yes, exactly. So that normal root will grow down there and it'll get there. And they can kind of take things from other spots on the tree, because in the tropical forest, there's epiphytes everywhere. So this tree starts its life out as an epiphyte.
Okay.
So an epiphyte is just another little plant that grows on the side of another plant.
Okay.
It's not parasitic. It doesn't actually go into and use nutrients from its host plant. It's just sitting on it like licorice fern or
a barnacle on a whale.
Precisely.
Great.
Now, exactly as a barnacle on a whale, it's not that comfortable all the time, and you don't necessarily like it.
Mm.
So this tree can't really do much about it. It's got this thing growing on it, and that thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Once it hits the ground, then it starts sending roots out left and right, and then it literally strangles the tree. And I believe the term that I read today is the fig becomes the host tree's coffin.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's that intense.
What an image.
Yeah. And there are photos of fig trees where all those roots that come down, the initial ones that come down around the main tree, it will literally have like tens of roots that come down and create like a lattice work around the tree. And then they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the tree on the outside, the fig, will literally strangle and girdle the tree on the inside because they're getting bigger and bigger from the outside. So the tree on the inside can't keep growing.
That is incredible.
Isn't that wild? At the same time, the fig tree is now getting more. It's already up in the sky. So it's just getting energy, 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 energy. So it outcompetes like ivy does here and elsewhere with other trees like kudzu. Kudzu and ivy do not actually take any nutrients from the tree. They just outcompete the tree for light and use the tree as the structure. Except
is wild. Wait, Casey, can I ground myself for a second?
Yeah, of course. This with your aerial roots.
Let me send my roots out on your shoulder here for a second.
Oh no! Don't do it! I'm going to kill you if I can.
That tickled me for some reason. So this is all fig trees behave this way?
No, not all
figs. Just the banyan.
Just the banyan and its friends. So remember how I said there's like a lot of different things that you would call the banyan tree?
Oh, right.
So we are specifically today talking, we're kind of broadly talking about banyan trees, but when you say the banyan tree, most of the time you're talking about Bengalensis, Ficus Bengalensis.
Okay.
Which is the state tree of India. Like, it's a super common, very, very often planted tree.
Okay.
It does this.
Okay. What about strangler figs?
Yes, there are many, there are a couple different species. So it is a strangler fig.
Oh.
The banyan tree is a strangler fig.
Got it.
Lowercase s, lowercase f.
Wow. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh. It's an improper noun.
There are more than one kind of strangler fig trees or plants. But there's only one that's called Ficus Bengalensis.
You know when you like connect a dot and you feel like you just had a really big sneeze?
Yes.
That's how I feel right now.
You just feel really good, like your face like gets a little tingly.
I'm euphoric.
I
have ascended.
Yeah. Alex is floating. You're not even on your chair right now. Oh my God. So that's this tree. So that's what makes this non-tree a tree. Because it becomes a tree only after it's not a tree, but it does it in the opposite way that normal trees would do
it. Oh, that's what you mean.
So starts from the top, goes to the bottom, kills the thing that it was on most of the time, and then takes its place.
What was the word you called it earlier?
Strangler fig.
No, it land and like the
epiphyte.
Epiphyte. Okay.
Yeah, which is it's kind of like epidermis. That's the outer layer of skin. That's epi. It's the outside.
Wow.
And then the phyte just is a kind of plant. Epiphyte.
Okay. To me, it sounds like a boss in the Diablo franchise of games.
Ooh. Well, I'm Epiphyte.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's like the...
Someone turn the sun off.
And he strangles you. Ooh, I'm creating a whole lore in my head.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Yeah.
All right, Casey. That's super cool, man.
Yeah. So that's how this tree grows. It's a beautiful tree. And you can, if someone Googles, we'll see if we can find a photo. I'm not sure if we can.
Hmm.
But there's photos that people have taken from inside the hollow shell from where the tree used to be. So if it's just one single stem that gets covered by this strangler fig, then the tree dies, it decays. You can look inside that like hollow column of just this lattice work of the aerial roots that have come down and strangled what it was there. That decays away. Now it's gone.
I will say maybe appropriately, whenever I've seen, when I wrote that song, I Googled strangler fig. And it does look like the outer shell of the bark. Does look a lot like rotting flesh.
Totally, yeah.
It's very zombie looking.
It is. And the outer side, like those roots, they're totally alive. It's just the stuff inside that it's slowly squeezing to death.
It's just that's ruckus.
Isn't that so raw? Oh, God, it is ruckus. Ugh, I can't even get enough of it. I want to go see these trees and see it in action because, I'll be honest, I believe you can also just plant it in the ground and it'll just grow up like a normal tree and then send out these aerial roots from its own limbs. And then that's how you can get these big things, but it will also start from the top and do it backwards.
See, this is curious to me that if you just plant one by itself, it sends out aerial roots.
It does, but it only does that once it gets up into the sky.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm sure you could prune it and do other things to it, but as the tree's growing up, like you can buy it as a house plant and it'll just be one single stem that's popping up. I don't know exactly what the stimulus is that gets it to do a new root. I have not figured that out.
Wow, that's so curious. I would actually love to have a little mini fig plant in my home.
You totally can. I like I said, I got one. You can go buy them, but they don't. I don't think that they actually will do the same strangling to your other plants. So
yeah, I was gonna make a bad joke.
Like, could you just like imagine waking up after hearing like a pot break and you look over and your figs just completely covering your fern or something?
Oh, they should.
Oh God, get off there.
They should absolutely remake The Blob, but with a banyan tree.
Yeah, they totally should.
Yeah, somebody get on that.
I'd watch that. Please, thank you.
Hollywood.
Also, could you... Actually, Bollywood should do it. It's the Indian tree.
There we go, Casey.
And I think they would do a much better job in that at the end, we're going to have a dance sequence.
Oh, yeah. It would just be like crazy over the top action for 90 minutes. And then we all dance.
And then we're all just going to dance.
I just assumed you and I would be in the movie.
Of course we would. We're the brain
We're the executive
here.
Producers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, if that's not interesting enough for you.
Oh, boy.
I can throw one more ball your way if you want to take a swing at it.
Chapter 3.
That is the chapter we're on. Chapter 3. This one's entitled Enter the Nematodes.
And now we're talking.
Oh, yes, we are.
Are the nematodes anything like the battle toads?
I'm going to say yes. Without knowing what that is,
lovely.
The answer is 100% yes.
All right.
All right. So remember when you walked in and I was reading this book, I was just finishing this little chapter and I didn't even quite get through it because I had to read a couple paragraphs a couple different times. Yeah. It's very complicated.
That's when you put your book down.
Okay. Remember how we brought up earlier? Every species of fig will have its own species of fig wasp.
Yes.
It turns out that's basically a fact. And I know we don't usually deal in facts here at the show.
Casey's using air quotes. Yeah,
very like aggressive air quotes.
Yeah, kind of scared me.
So sorry, I put my hands in my pockets. Sorry, let me wait. So you have so each one of these things, and they've done some studies, and the very first species of fig and the very first species of fig wasp, that wasp decided, I'm going to lay my eggs like this.
Yeah.
And both those plants, or both the plant and the insect, evolved together for the rest of time, 90 or so million years. So here's how it works.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a fig?
Sure have. I've eaten my fair share.
You love them, don't you?
Love me a fig.
And they're delicious. They have all they have that right kind of like flesh and flavor and everything
Incredible.
Like that.
Incredible. I love their seeds.
So interesting that you bring up seeds.
Hmm.
Did you know that half the time you eat a fig that is nice and ripe, you're actually eating a significant amount of baby wasps?
Oh, Lord.
That's why I wanted to make sure to say, you like it. You think they're good. So everyone who heard that and then heard the second part, admit to yourself you like it and keep doing it.
Well, I have no problem admitting that I'll never eat one again.
Perfect. The one that we usually eat, that's Ficus carica most of the time.
Okay.
And that is a species from the Mediterranean.
Hmm.
And that is, it's super common. We have it over here all the time. Like it's planted relatively often.
Yeah.
There are, again, 750 different species of figs. Many of them we do not eat. Everything else in the world eats them. Like half the time when a fig tree puts its fruit on and its fruit becomes ripe, that is like a bonanza in a tropical forest. And you can see every kind of like bird and mammal and monkey running over there and they just eat the whole thing absolutely to death.
Jungle buffet.
Exactly.
When the figs come to play.
And there's so many different species. It totally makes sense. We're like, this one blooms at this time. This one blooms at this time. This one blooms at this time.
Oh.
And then they create fruit at different times as well. So that way no one is getting outcompeted. No one else is competing with someone else so that all the animals will be like, there, there, there. So it becomes this big, like,
That's
you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah, this cycle. If you ever eat a fig and you realize, this is kind of a weird fruit. Like, you never had a fruit quite like it.
It's a little alien.
It is alien. And it just gets more alien when I describe to you what exactly it is.
Oh, no.
So the fruit of a fig is actually the receptacle. Remember when we talked about plants, flowers a while back?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, also about apple and pomes with the hawthorn. So the receptacle is like the terminal part of the twig or the stem that is, or stem tissue specifically, that holds on to the flower. Like it's the base of the flower.
Okay.
And the fig fruit is actually a big receptacle, and the ovaries are actually inside of it. The flowers that come from those ovaries are inside the receptacle.
Wait a minute.
Derek Zoolander's looking at me right now with his just headphones on, looking and saying, they're inside the fruit. That's right, Alex Zoolander. They're inside the fruit.
Wow.
In fact, technically, the fruit can't even really be called the fruit until it starts to ripen when all the seeds inside ripen, because the individual ovules are inside with individual flowers, and there's like something from like 20 to 5,000 in any given fig, where there's basically, instead of having flowers on the outside that things come into, they are inside. And are absolutely like all when you break that in half and you have like all those seeds and all those like little fleshy bits, I guess, that is actually all of the remains of the flowers that have in the ovules, which of course a mature ovary is what technically is a fruit. So the fruit The fruit, man, I need to have like a we need to do a ding every time I use air quotes on episode.
Something about Casey that people might not know from hearing him on podcasts, he's an extremely expressive speaker. Yeah,
I move a lot.
You use your body.
Yeah, it's body language is half the big thing that when I talk.
Yeah, and you have a couple of Caseyisms that I've mimicked to you before in a kind way.
In a kind. I was never offended.
Anyway. I have so many questions, Casey.
All right, begin. Well, okay,
before you get to a good stopping point, I'll unload on you.
So because the flowers are inside, they have the figs, they have this really interesting way that they end up getting these wasps to do their dirty. So they walk into this thing called a cinchonia. And a cinchonia is the name of the fruit. These wasps, they come in through this little hole in the very end of this fruit, in quotes. And they walk in and they go and they lay an egg inside the seeds of the fig, up to about 50 or so percent of the seeds. Lay an egg inside, and then they leave. The mother leaves. The foundress is what they're called.
Cool.
The foundress then goes off and maybe does this on a different fig or a different fruit on this one fig tree. The little baby wasps hatch and they eat that little seed that they're basically put inside.
Okay.
That's how they get their nourishment. They have then a couple of the male wasps that are born, which is only like maybe 50 to 5%, like not a lot most of the time. Those males will then go in and fertilize the females inside their individual seeds. And then the males die. They don't even leave the fig. They don't leave.
Wow.
They just do the dirty. They die. They don't even have wings.
A life of servitude.
That's all they're there for.
Yeah.
Then the females, the newly hatched females, they will walk and just bumble around inside the fig, get covered in pollen, then fly away. And then they go to the next one and they fertilize the next one by walking back into it, looking around. And because they're already now pregnant with fertilized little baby wasp eggs, they then put those little baby wasp eggs into these new seeds and then the cycle starts again.
Oh my gosh.
Are you sweating? I'm sweating.
No, I'm more like falling down a hole.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. In fact, I could probably find the term for that hole.
Just give me one second here.
Osteal. It's called an osteal.
Oh, the hole they go through.
Yeah.
The flowers inside the fig. This is my first big mental block.
Yeah.
The flowers inside the fig, if that flower is mature and you cut open a fig, can you see the petal? Does it have petals and stamen?
It has is that stamen. The right word? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it has pistils. And stamen. Yeah,
yes.
Or really, it actually has the tiniest little parts that are just on top, which are the style and the stigma. They just have like everything has been minimalized and kind of like it only uses what it needs to get them inside and produce the style and the stigma so you can get pollen, and that pollen can come and touch the top of the style and then go into the thing.
Wow, what a bizarre world, Casey.
Yeah. And so that's a crazy thing that they do. Yeah, so okay, that makes sense. That's a cool little relationship. But then what if one takes advantage of the other and it doesn't quite work? Turns out if the fig or if the wasp does not fertilize the plant, does not fertilize the rest of them, if it just like goes in, does its dirty and leaves and then doesn't actually do any of the fertilization, if most of those flowers inside of that fig, the fruit,
air quotes.
Yeah, thank you. If that is not wholly fertilized, then the plant aborts the whole thing. Just, yep, done. And then all the little baby wasps that are in there perish because they're not getting any more sustenance and they don't have any protection way up in the tree inside this little fruit.
And so a bird may come along and just snack on it.
Exactly. Or it'll just fall to the ground, get eaten by something else, or it'll just rot and then they won't have any protection.
Casey, what an insane story you weaved for us today.
Oh, God. And it's not even done. That's the dot, 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 because then there's something that has to do with nematodes that I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But the nematodes will go into the wasps, and then those will get transferred to another thing. Then the wasps, or the, not the wasps, that go to a different fig, and then the figs have different temperatures, and they change things. The relationship between these trees, again, this is mutualistic symbiosis.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kept in line by some other small little thing that keeps it from getting out of order.
Incredible.
Even though what he says 100 times in this book is evolution, or rather not evolution, natural selection does not look to the future. Like, it doesn't say, okay, if I don't do this, then this is going to happen and it'll be better for everybody.
Right.
They look at what's the short-term benefit. Everything has to benefit you right then and right now.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't short-term benefit you, that's why the tree drops and aborts it. Because if that wasp did not do the thing that it needed to do, then its brood does not get transferred to the next. So the wasps that are a little bit more ambial, I'm trying to think amble around, but I can't think of the...
Sure.
To amble.
Yeah, it works.
The wasps that amble around more often, spread more pollen, fertilize more things, they the ones that take the time, they will be the ones that have more brood that comes out of non-aborted little figs.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it gets more complicated even so. Even when you think it's like, oh, it's a nice story.
Well, the theme here is dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, that's it. Man.
We got a schedule for this podcast.
Jeez. Anyway, that's figs.
Casey, I think now is just a tremendous time to...
I'm not ready.
To get into our... Ready or not, pal, here it comes. To get into our review of the banyan tree.
Yep.
And I think maybe we zoom out a little bit and do a review of these strangler figs. Casey, as our resident expert, we will begin with your golden cone score.
All right. Golden cones of honor for the banyan tree, the strangler fig, and all of its buddies. 8.9. I'm giving it an 8.9.
Tremendous.
It is a tremendous tree. And I'm starting with... my cone number first. I know I usually don't do that.
I like it when you do this.
Okay. I want to just put it out there.
Times, it's fun.
It did because I have to just be like, no, this tree's cool before I talk myself out of it.
Yeah.
So we talked about it with the thorn, where I'm a fan of trees that fight back.
Yes.
And this tree not only fights back in like a defensive way, this is an offensive tree.
Yeah.
This tree is like, oh, this is nice. I really like this branch. Can I have all of it?
Yeah.
And the other tree's like, no, you can't. You can't have it. And it's like, I'm going to take it. And not only will it take over that tree, it will then grow and take over the space around all the other trees. And then inevitably, it's a colonizing tree in every physical a manifestation of that word.
Yeah.
So I think they're amazingly cool trees, and this complex like relationship, and then all the complex relationships that follow, I think are the coolest things.
An 8.9 golden cones of honor.
8.9, golden cones of honor.
I say we just call them.
We're just gonna call them what they are.
Or cones, like with an apostrophe at the beginning. You know, it's like short for golden cones.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah, I gotcha.
All right.
Nice. All right. What do you think, Alex?
By the way, honor this season is spelled HONOUR.
Yeah, thank you.
So here's. I want to say something extremely unrelated.
Please do.
Before I dive into my review. And I'll kind of structure it the same as yours. I'll give my ranking and then I'll tell why. This last weekend, I took a solo trip to Astoria, Oregon.
All right.
And I did a little hiking. I did a lot of driving. I went in with no plans. I thought that would be kind of cool, but I ended up just kind of not knowing what to do and driving a bunch. And on my trip, now this is supposed to be kind of like funny and sweet, not sad.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to. I need to make sure you respond appropriately, or else it'll make me feel weird. So I was driving and I was listening to some pop punk, and I was just like in a great mood.
Is it Weezer?
No. Oh, okay. Well, I think at the moment I was listening to Cartel.
All right. Yeah. That's okay. Okay.
Their album Chroma, and their song Say Anything, and I was driving and I was thinking about the podcast. And I was thinking about the community we've kind of built around us and that has built itself around us and how it's growing and everybody's so sweet and kind and sends us great messages and information and is so supportive and sweet and supports us on our Patreon. And I began to weep, Casey.
Oh, Alex.
I just felt so... I just felt so honored and so privileged to be a part of something, you know, and I've been a creative my entire life. And this is the thing that has really stuck and that people are like paying attention to on kind of a big scale.
Yeah.
I think a bigger scale than either of us imagined when we first started. Sure. And it just feels so good to be a part of something like this. And I just want to thank everybody and thank you, Casey.
Well, Thank you, Alex.
And it's just been a real joy. And I found an invigorated passion for the show because it's hard to make something every single week and like keep up the vigor, you know?
Yeah. It like, yes.
Some people even told, well, I think this is because my, you know, my dog was dying, but I think some people even told me like, I could hear Alex's mood worsen for the last few episodes.
Oh, God.
But I feel good now. I feel great about the podcast, and I feel great about our community.
Excellent.
9.0 Golden Cones of Honor.
Wow.
Spelled H-O-N-O-U-R for the banyan tree.
Just right past the precipice.
and strangler figs. I think the premise of a strangler fig is incredibly cool. Please, Bollywood, make our dreams come true.
We need this.
All right. Well, that was our review of the banyan tree.
I love it. That's a great review.
Casey.
Alex.
We are going to play a game right now.
Oh, what game is this?
It is a listener favorite from season one of Completely Arbitrary.
God. Okay.
At the time, I called it the Latin name game. It now officially has an official non-working title.
All right.
It is Binomial Bonanza.
Oh, I love this one.
Here's how it works, Casey. I am going to read you the scientific name of a species of tree. All of these trees that I've chosen are found in the Sibley Guide to Trees by David Allen Sibley, a book that we constantly recommend.
And we constantly do for free.
Although we haven't talked about it in a little while, Casey.
It's because we're on a world tour, and that is a North American tree book.
That's a really good point.
There you go.
I will read the scientific name, the binomial name. You will tell me, as quick as you can, the common name for the species of tree.
Oh, this one is so hard. For a while, you chose them off of the Oregon State landscape thing.
Oh.
And that was nicer because I'm usually familiar with those because they grow in Oregon, probably.
I see.
These grow from all over the country, and some of them I don't know as well.
Well, that's what makes it fun, Cass.
Oh, you know what? Fun is fun for who, Alex?
It's a lot of fun for me, and I think it's a lot of fun for our listeners. So let's dive in. Ooh. 60 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
And we begin now. Quercus stellata.
Ooh, Quercus stellata, post oak. Yes.
Correct. Malus fusca.
Ooh, Malus fusca. It's the apple we have here in the Oregon. It's a hold on. The Klamath plum. No, it's not that. It's a crab apple. But it's a specific kind of crab apple.
The Oregon crab apple.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
Correct.
You.
Pyrus caloriana.
Ooh, that tree smells like a it smells like a bunch of sailors.
What is it, Casey?
On a boat. It's a calorie pear.
Correct. Lianothanamus floribundus.
What? That's not a tree.
Lianothanamus floribundus.
Okay, so it's got a lot of flowers. It's the multi-flowered lianthus. Is it an acacia?
Incorrect. It's the lion tree.
Fuck, I've never even heard of that.
Plantanus occidentalis.
Oh, Plantanus occidentalis. That's the western... sycamore. Oh, God.
American sycamore.
American, yes.
Juniperus scopulorum.
Scopulorum. That's the juniper scopularum. It's the western juniper.
Rocky Mountain juniper.
Oh, damn it.
Betula neo-Alaska. Ooh, Alaskana. Alaskana.
Alaskana? Neo-Alaskana?
Neo-Alaskana.
Oh, so it's the new Alaskan birch.
Betula neo-Alaskana. The resin birch.
Oh, dang it.
Quercus. Oh, God. Quercus acutissima.
Ooh, acutissima. Not a native species. That's the sawtooth oak.
Correct.
Boom.
Populus angustifolia.
Ooh, you're getting good at this. That's the it's big tooth aspen. No, it's a different kind of aspen. No, angustifolia. Ooh, it's populus.
Populus angustifolia.
Ooh, it's some kind of it's a cottonwood. It's some kind of central, let's say, plains cottonwood.
Narrow leaf cottonwood.
Fuck.
Prunus persica.
Ooh, Prunus persica. That sounds like it's a plum from Persia. No, not plum. Maybe cherry. Persian cherry. Pin cherry.
Incorrect. Peach.
Dang it. What? Oh, it's a peach.
That is the end of my list, Casey.
60 seconds and I did poorly.
As is tradition, we went way beyond the time limit, but that's what makes it fun.
I want to know. One day you're going to do that and you're going to name like 100 and be like, wait, that's it? Did we get to 60 seconds?
Casey,
like,
just Casey, blacked out.
It's been an hour.
Casey, it's about time for our completely arbitrary Q&A.
I understand.
Our question is from listener Bobby. Bobby Bohemir. Bohemir.
I like that last name.
Yeah.
I like that first name.
Bobby asks an incredibly interesting philosophical question.
Ooh, hold on. Let me put my philosophy hat on. All right, I'm ready.
All right. Whoa, your philosophy hat's really weird.
Yeah, I didn't know that you would notice, but I've been wearing it this whole time.
It's like an Abe Lincoln style top hat.
Yeah, except it's like 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
I'm knocking things over.
Did you get this from like a prop store?
Can I turn the ceiling fan off? It's probably going to knock my...
That's right. Anyway. Hey, you've got birds living under there.
No, shoot. Sorry.
Bobby asks, did humans domesticate crops or did crops domesticate humans?
Oh, this is a tree adjacent question.
Yes, this
isn't it.
This is a and other related topics question.
Etc. All right. This is a great question. And actually, it comes very close to home with our episode here because you can kind of think about the relationship between wasps and the relationship between figs as also similar, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who domesticated who? Is the wasp using the fig and causing the fig to be like, you know, its, you know, womb, basically, I guess, or nursery?
I have an answer for not only that question, but Bobby's question.
All right, go for it.
Bobby?
What do you think? Yeah, that's Bobby, yeah.
Bobby. Like most things, both.
Exactly.
It's not a dichotomy.
Yes. I would say
we're not taking sides here. Both things are happening at once.
Precisely. I think, Alex, that's a perfect insight to add to this.
Thank you, Casey.
Your answer is right. Everyone, thanks so much. This has been completely arbitrary.
However,
yeah, there's always gonna be that. Both are there's a mutualistic symbiosis going on here,
yeah,
to some degree or another. The biggest difference is with humans, we see things from our human perspective, and there's no person except Michael Pollan and a few other people. This is, by the way, a quintessential question that is answered and discussed in the book, The Botany of Desire by Michael Pollan.
Cool.
And he specifically addresses and kind of goes into this. He said, well, if we look at it, like, the opposite would be true. If we are super successful because we've eaten rice, wheat, corn, then you can flip the script on that and say corn is super successful because it has got this weird mammal thing to do everything in its power and kill other mammal things and other plants and things in the soil,
yeah,
and cut down other things and make everything just perfect for me. These things are my motherfuckers.
And systematically plant miles and miles of it.
Exactly.
Cover entire states.
Yes. Cut down entire forests and complex ecosystems,
yeah,
to make everything perfect for me.
That's kind of a baller move on the corn's part.
Super baller. Like, you can't complain. Like, you really can't. You gotta give it the credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, we can flip that script back and we could at any point stop doing that.
Mm.
We're never going to. We probably can't because we'd probably have like food systems collapse.
Yeah.
So at one point, yes, it would be completely destructive for us. But if it's completely destructive for us, the plants will probably be fine.
Sure.
So did we end up did we domesticate those crops? I would say ultimately yes. But I think if you can say yes to that, then you can say yes to the opposite as well.
For sure. Hey, I think that's a great answer, Casey.
Concise
and clear and under control.
I think so.
Well, if you have a question about trees, email us at arbitrarypod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at arbitrarypod to see some pretty pictures and hear some fun things. And we have a Patreon, Casey.
Everyone should sign up for it. This month, we have a new artist.
That's right.
This is very exciting. The tree cone is a cone of a tree.
Let's not spoil it.
Yeah,
quite
see
yet.
How I did that?
Oh,
man,
I see.
Man, I'm good.
Casey is the ultimate trickster.
That's
you're like
right,
Pan.
Look over in this hand as I do something with this hand.
Fucking con artist.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know what's not a con? Joining our Patreon. You can join for $5 and get 2 extra episodes a month discussing all sorts of things. You can vote on what you want to hear episodes about sometimes.
We just did one on soil.
That's right.
That's right.
And you can join for $10 a month, the Cone of the Month Club, and get a snazzy, unique cone sticker every month. And we're working with some independent artists and having just a tremendous time with that.
They're so beautiful.
They really are. And it'll be a little info card. It's very cute.
It's everything about it. It's really like spectacular.
Yeah,
I agree. I would sign up for it.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary.
We're always just happy to have you around.
That's true. You're great company. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our production consultant is Olivia Frankie. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by The Mini Vandals. Thanks for listening.